Take our lesson this morning from the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 32. Had a reading a few moments ago from verse 1 through verse 7. It lays a foundation for our reading now, beginning at verse 25. Exodus 32, beginning our reading at verse 25 in the New King James Version. Now when Moses saw that the people were unrestrained, for Aaron had not restrained them to their shame among their enemies, then Moses stood in the entrance of the camp and said, "Whoever is on the Lord's side, come to me." And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together to him. And he said to them, "Thus says the Lord God of Israel, let every man put his sword on his side, and go in and out from entrance to entrance throughout the camp, and let every man kill his brother, every man his companion, and every man his neighbor." So the sons of Levi did according to the word of Moses, and about 3,000 men of the people fell that day. Whose side are you on? Webster defines the word side as the position, interest, or attitude of one person or group, especially when regarded as being in opposition to another or others. We understand what we're talking about when we talk about being on one side, if we relate that to political events or political parties. We're on one side or the other. If we're not on this side, then we're in opposition to the other side. We understand it when we talk about being on opposing teams or on a side in athletic contests. When one is on one side, he opposes the other side. He stands in opposition. He seeks to defeat the other side. In most matters, we take a side. We can be pro or con. Possibly sometimes in temporal matters we can be neutral, not even take a side. But in matters of religion, we're either for God, that is on His side, or against Him, opposed to Him. The taking of sides has been the root of a lot of division, difference of opinion, contradiction, arguing in churches of Christ throughout the years. Amen. Because someone will take a side, and then others will flock to that side. And then others, having not taken that side, stand in opposition to it. They oppose it. And thus conflict occurs. Division occurs, and it never recognized and realized by the individuals who are engaged in it that perhaps neither side is on the Lord's side. Sometimes that's the case. Sometimes division occurs in churches of Christ when there are those who are on the Lord's side, but many times it's because no one is on the Lord's side. I have an example of such among the Corinthians. In 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 10 and following, Paul said, "Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." Be on the same side. Always be on the Lord's side. "For it has been declared to me concerning you, my brethren, by those of Chloe's household, that there are contentions among you. Now I say this, that each of you says, 'I am of Paul, I am of Apostles, or I am of Cephas, or I am of Christ.' Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized in the name of Paul? That is, were you baptized into relationship with the Apostle Paul? Or were you baptized into relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? Decide now whose side you're going to be on." But the Corinthians weren't on Christ's side. They didn't recognize and realize that. They were dividing up and taking sides. And evidently, very few of them were on the Lord's side. in 1 Corinthians 3 and in verse 1. And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you're still not able, because they're not taking the Lord's side. For you're still carnal, for where there are envy and strife and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? For when one says, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal? Yes, they are. They're fleshly minded and engage in works of the flesh. We want to consider this morning about being on the Lord's side. We note some general observations first in our study concerning the side of the Lord. First of all, we need to recognize that the Lord has a side. Whoever's on the Lord's side, Moses said, Exodus 32 and 26. The Lord does have a side. On this occasion, the Lord's side, of course, had no part in the idolatrous worship that was taking place here in Exodus 32. There were those who were truly on the Lord's side, but they had not been identified yet. But those who took no part in that idolatrous worship were on the Lord's side. And if initially they weren't on the Lord's side, when it was brought to their attention, they evidently repented and came to the Lord's side. Those partaking in the idolatrous worship, of course, were against God. They were not on His side. One need not to plead ignorance in regard to how it is one determines whether he's on the Lord's side or not. On this occasion, in Exodus 32, they knew what the Lord's side was. The Lord's side was not to oppose him, not to be in opposition against him, but to be doing what he said do, or not doing what he said not to do. That is, obeying his will in the matter. But they were in disobedience. Exodus 20 and verse 4, you shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. They were in opposition to that. They were not on the Lord's side, all who engaged in idolatrous worship on this occasion. The Lord does have a side. And the commands that God gives to man to obey, and man's choice in whether he obeys or disobeys determines whether he's on the Lord's side or not. In Matthew 28 and in verse 18, Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in, literally into, the name of the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. That is, baptize them into a relationship with the Godhead, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. When one responds to the gospel invitation and obeys the Lord, he comes to be on the Lord's side. His obedience to God's word determines whether he's on the Lord's side or not. 1 John 5 and verse 3, John said, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. If we truly love God, if we're truly on his side, we're going to keep his commandments. That's how we demonstrate and show our love for him. Matthew 7 and verse 21, though, Jesus said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Yes, many people say and refer to Jesus as Lord, Master, ruler of their life, but they'll simply not obey his word. They're not on his side. Not on his side. Many will say to me in that day, Matthew 7 and verse 22, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Lawlessness is disregard for law. For whose law? God's law. When you commit sin, you commit lawlessness, because sin is lawlessness. So depart from me, you who practice lawlessness, you who commit sin. If you'll not obey my word, you're against me. You're opposed to me. You stand in opposition against me. You're not for me. You're not on my side. Depart from me, you worker of iniquity, or you who practice lawlessness. So the Lord has a side. By your obedience to His word, you take His side. By your disobedience, you choose to be opposed to Him. You choose to stand in opposition against Him. Another observation concerning the side of the Lord is that God has always given man the choice to choose to be on His side or not on His side. He always has given man that choice. On this occasion, Moses said, "Whoever's on the Lord's side, come to me. You have a choice. If you're on the Lord's side, come to me." God has always given us that choice. When we come to Him in obedience, we choose the side of the Lord. Matthew 11 and verse 28, Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden." You have a choice. You can come, be in fellowship with Him or not. If you come to Him and rely on Him for your salvation, you've chosen the Lord's side. Through your disobedience, you stand opposed and against Him. But He has always given us a choice in the matter. You can be on His side, or you can be opposed to Him. It's your choice. Even in the very beginning, God gave Adam and Eve a choice. Genesis 2 and in verse 16, the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "Of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die." And they did. They died spiritually, because sin brings spiritual death. They didn't die physically the day they ate, but they died spiritually. Sin brings about spiritual death. They had a choice in the matter. They could be on the Lord's side and obey, but they chose to disobey. But God gave them that choice. Joshua recognized the liberty and the freedom of making a choice to be on the Lord's side or not. In Joshua 24 and in verse 15, when he said to the people of Israel, "If it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve." So Joshua recognized they had a choice. What was the choice? Well, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the great river Euphrates, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua made a choice to serve the Lord, but he recognized that the people of his day had a choice as well. God always gives us a choice. We can choose to be on His side or not be on His side. When we choose to obey, we choose to be on His side. Every time we choose not to obey, we stand in opposition against Him. We stand opposed to Him. There's something else about being on the Lord's side as well. Those who are on the Lord's side are called to declare themselves. That is, to reveal their intentions and their identity as those who are actually on the Lord's side. So you can't be on the Lord's side and remain, you might say, a secret disciple. Because God wants to know your intentions. He wants you to declare yourself as on His side. If you'll not declare and make it known that you're on His side, you're evidently on the opposing side. Exodus 32 and in verse 26 again, Moses said, "Whoever's on the Lord's side, come to me." And what did they do? those who were on the Lord's side declared themselves as being on the Lord's side. And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together to him. That is, they rallied around Moses. They declared themselves to be on the Lord's side. And further in the context, we see that they continued to declare themselves as being on the Lord's side. As Moses instructed them to put the swords on the side and to go in and out of the camp, slaying those who were on the opposing side. Now I want you to think about that for a moment. Here we have God's people and what they're told to do. Slay even their family members, those who were on the opposite and opposing side, those who were not on the Lord's side. Can you imagine how hard that would have been to take a sword and slay those who perhaps were your family members? Or perhaps those who were related to you somehow. Not in your immediate family, but in your father's household, perhaps. Grandfather and forefathers. To slay them. To carry out such a command had to be hard, hard indeed. But they declared themselves to be on the Lord's side by following God's commands. Because there's no neutral territory in respect to being for or against the Lord. We're either going to obey His word or not obey, regardless of how hard it may be to obey. Because we cannot serve both sides. An impossibility. Matthew 6 and verse 24, no one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or he'll be loyal to one and despise the other. You're going to show allegiance to one or the other. Which side are you going to be on? You can't serve both sides. You can't straddle the fence. There's no neutral territory. In regard to spiritual matters, you're going to have to take a side. You're going to have to declare what side you're on. And the declaration is shown in your obedient lifestyle. In 1 Kings 18, in verse 21, Elijah came to all the people and said, as he speaks to the people of the northern tribes of Israel, before he battles the prophets of Baal, he said, how long will you falter between two opinions? That is, how long are you going to bounce back and forth between these two beliefs? Either you're going to believe this or you're going to believe this. Which one is it? How long will you falter between two opinions? If the Lord, Yahweh, is God, Elohim, follow Him. But if Baal is God, if he's Elohim, follow him. But the people answered him not a word. They thought they could be neutral in the matter. No, it was one or the other. If Yahweh is God, follow him. You're either on God's side, or you're opposed to him. You stand in opposition against him. We need to recognize and realize that when we're called to be on the Lord's side and we've taken His side through obedience, when people see our obedience lived out in our life, they know whose side we're on. Sometimes people live in such a way as people don't know whether one's on the Lord's side or not. Paul said in Romans 12 and verse 2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect or complete will of God. Don't be conformed, fashioned, molded according to the ways of the people of this world. Is that not what we want to do sometimes? We want to look like the people of the world. We want to dress like the people of the world. We want to act like the people of the world. Don't be a pattern. Don't pattern your behavior after the people of the world. They're on the opposite side. There needs to be a clear distinction made between those who are on the Lord's side and those who are not on the Lord's side. We need to be able to see that distinction in our everyday walk of life, in our behavior. Let's not model and pattern ourselves. Let's not be conformed to this world. There will not be that distinction. People simply will not see it. In Titus 2 and in verse 14, Christ gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from every lawless deed, liberate us and set us free from sin, and purify for Himself His own special people. Peculiar people, if I remember correctly, the King James Version says. Special means they're treasured by God. They've been purchased by the blood of God. They're His prized possession. And they're to be zealous for good works. Works that are virtuous. Deeds, actions, and behavior that is upright, righteous, and just in the sight of God. Well, one might say, well, preacher, what's involved in being on the Lord's side? Well, let me suggest three things. First of all, if you're on the Lord's side, you're going to be continually loyal to Him. That is, you're going to render Him constant allegiance. It's not going to be on again, off again. You know, some people in athletic contests, they're for one team one day and another team the next day. Most people, though, have one team that they stick with, but some can decide what team they want to be on. They don't give any kind of allegiance or loyalty to one particular team. But if we're going to be on the Lord's side, there has to be constant allegiance to Him. Constant allegiance to Him. And it needs to be. Matthew 17 and in verse 5 on the Mount of Transfiguration. God said, "This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear Him." We need to hear Him in all that He has to say to us. And we need to obey that which we hear. We need to hear Him always and obey always that which He says. Constant, continual allegiance and loyalty to Him. That's what He requires. And why not? Matthew 28 and verse 18 again. All authority has been given to Me on heaven and on earth. He has all authority. Why not render constant allegiance to Him? Continual allegiance. Why not render continual allegiance to Him? He died for you. Hebrews 2 and in verse 9, we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that He, by the grace of God, might taste death for every one of you, for me. Why not give Him constant allegiance? That's what He demands. Allegiance demands that we obey. We obey what we hear from His Word. And we live consecrated and sanctified lives before Him. Matthew 15 and in verse 7. And Jesus said, "Hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying." So our allegiance can't just be mouthed allegiance. By saying, "Lord, Lord." No, we're going to have to demonstrate our allegiance, not just in word. Matthew 15 and verse 7 again, hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, "These people draw near to Me with their mouth and honor Me with their heart, with their lips, but their heart is far from Me." Their heart is not in their allegiance to God. "And in vain they worship Me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men." Oh, they mouth that they're in allegiance with God. They pretend as though they're in allegiance with God. But they're not really on His side. God demands allegiance. If you're going to be considered a child of God, then be part of the family. Galatians 3:26, "For all sons are children of God through faith in Christ Jesus." Why? For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. If you're a child of God, then live as though you're a child of God. He demands for us to live like children. Children that belong to Him. Another thing involved in being on the side of the Lord is our support for His cause. If you're on the Lord's side, if you're on the side of the Lord Jesus Christ, then you ought to support His cause. For what cause did He come to this earth? To suffer and die for the sins of mankind. He came to this earth for salvation. That is to bring salvation to all men. And if we're going to be on His side, we ought to support that cause. We ought to defend it at every opportunity we have. 1 Peter 3 and in verse 15, Peter said, "Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and always be ready to give an offense." See that word, always? Always be ready. Always be prepared to give an offense. Be prepared to defend His cause. That's what we need to do. In Philippians 1 and verse 17, Paul said, "I'm appointed for the defense of the gospel." King James Version said, "I'm set for the defense of the gospel." Are we? Paul, of course, was chosen by the Lord Himself to be an apostle of Christ. But we should always be ready, always be prepared to give an offense for the hope that resides within us. We should be set and appointed for the defense of the Word. Because we support the cause of Christ. In Ephesians 6 and in verse 13, Paul said, "Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness." Take a stand for the Lord. If you clothe yourself in the gospel armor, you'll be able to stand even when the fiery darts of Satan are hurled at you. You'll be able to defend the cause of Christ. In 1 Timothy 6 and in verse 20, Paul told the young evangelist, "Oh, Timothy, know this, guard what was committed to your trust. Avoid the profane and idle babblings and contradictions of what is falsely called knowledge. Guard what was committed to your trust." The gospel has been committed or entrusted to us. Are we guarding it? Are we keeping it? Are we preserving it in its pure, uncorrupted state as it was given to us? That's what we need to do. Amen. 2 Timothy 1 and in verse 13. Paul told Timothy, "Hold fast the pattern of sound words." Hold on to that mold or pattern of sound words. He's talking about the gospel. Sound words or sound message. That wholesome and healthy Word of God. That pure and uncorrupted Word of God, which you have heard from me in faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed to you. It is indeed a good thing. It is filled with virtue, goodness, and righteousness. Keep by the Holy Spirit who dwells in you. Preserve it. Guard it. We should support the cause of Christ. In supporting the cause of Christ, that means we ought to love the church then. Because the church is the saved. And we ought to bear the weight of support with faithful attendance and prayers and work and contribution. That's supporting the cause of Christ. It demonstrates to the world that you're on the Lord's side. Acts 2 and in verse 42. "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine." Continued steadfastly is one word in the Greek. Means they gave themselves up to it continually. They devoted themselves to these things. The world in which we live in calls upon us to devote ourselves to many things. And if we have time left, we can devote ourselves to this. No. This ought to be first and foremost of which we give our devotion to. In 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 5, Paul said, "And not only as we had hoped, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and then to us by the will of God." the churches in Macedonia first gave themselves to the Lord. That is, those who made up those churches. They first gave themselves to the Lord. That is, they made a decision a long time ago that they were on the Lord's side. And when you make that decision, you stay on the Lord's side. You're loyal to Him and you help sustain His cause. When we make up our mind to be on the Lord's side and we give ourselves up to the Lord, it's not hard to do that which He's called us to do. Be faithful in attendance, in prayers and word, giving and so forth. It's not hard for us to do those things because we've given ourselves for the Lord. We've determined that we're going to be on His side at all costs. A third thing that is involved in being on the side of the Lord is that we cooperate with others who are on the side of the Lord. That is, we work as a team. That's what we do. In Romans 12 and verse 4, "For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we being many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another." Members of the physical body do not work against the other members of the body. We all work in cooperation with one another. Just as the members of the physical body work as a team, they work in cooperation with one another. That's the way we ought to act as a body of Christ. Work in cooperation with one another. Ephesians 4 and verse 16, "From whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies according to the effective working, by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love." So we see that the Scriptures teach us that we ought to cooperate with one another. Work as a team. So those are the three things involved in being on the Lord's side. Allegiance to Him, supporting His cause, and working with others who are on the same team. Can you imagine all the football players on one team working against one another? We have some teams today like that. We have a lot of churches like that too. But if you're on the Lord's side, you're going to cooperate with one another and work as a team. The wise man told us and illustrated for us how important cooperation and teamwork is using the locusts. In Proverbs 30 and verse 27, when he said, "The locusts have no king," note that, "yet they all advance in ranks." You know, one locust can't do very much damage. But when you get a few thousand, a few million together, though they have no king, though they have no leader, they advance in ranks. They're like an army marching through the land. And just see what they can do with that teamwork and that cooperation with one another. The same is true for us. If we're on the Lord's side, we can accomplish so much more if we work as a team, if we cooperate with one another. Well, someone might say, "Well, preacher, what can I expect if I decide to be on the Lord's side?" Well, one of the first things that you can expect is, don't expect to be popular. Expect unpopularity. That's what you can expect. Matthew 10 and verse 34. "Do not think that I came to bring peace on the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies will be those of his own household. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." When you choose to be on the Lord's side, you're not going to be popular. As a matter of fact, what can you expect when you choose to be on the Lord's side? You can expect to have a lot of enemies. You can expect even persecution to come. To the apostles, Jesus said in John 16 and verse 1, "These things I've spoken to you, that you should not be made to stumble. They will put you out of the synagogue. Yes, the time is coming that whoever kills you will think that he offers God service." What can you expect when you come to be on the Lord's side? you can expect a lot of unpopularity and persecution. That's what you can expect. 2 Timothy 3 and in verse 12, Paul told the young evangelist, yes, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. All who desire. If you have the intent and the aim of living a godly life in, that is in relationship and in fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ, you will suffer persecution. There's no doubt about it. You will. Now that word desire there doesn't mean wish. It means intent, aim, and purpose. If that's your intent, aim, and purpose to be on the Lord's side, you will suffer persecution. But you can expect something else when you're on the Lord's side. You can expect the joy and satisfaction of being on the Lord's side and the peace that comes with being on the Lord's side. Romans 5 and in verse 1, Paul said, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Peace. Tranquility of soul, knowing that you're in a right relationship with God. That's what you can expect by being on the Lord's side. Philippians 4 and in verse 6, Paul said, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. That's what you can expect by being on the Lord's side. By being on the Lord's side, you can also expect eternal life. Eternal life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Know that? Rejoice in the Lord. In your relationship, in your fellowship, in your association with the Lord Jesus Christ, because you're on His side. Rejoice! Why? Because as long as you're on His side, you can expect salvation. Eternal salvation, eternal life. 1 John 2 and verse 25, and this is the promise that He has promised us, eternal life. Eternal life. Paul said in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 7, I fought the good fight, I finished the race, I've kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved His appearing. How could Paul be so confident in saying that? Because he had decided to be on the Lord's side and remain there. He had decided to give his allegiance to the Lord, to support His cause, and to work and cooperate with all others on the Lord's side. And that's why he was so assured of his eternal salvation. In the judgment scene in Matthew chapter 25, Jesus pictures two different sides. Those who are on the Lord's side, on the right side, and those who are on the left side, those who are opposed to the Lord. Those who are on the right side, Jesus said, the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. But those who are not on the Lord's side, those who are on the left hand, he said, depart from me, you cursed into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Matthew 25 and verse 41. Whose side are you on? Make a decision this day. Come to the Lord. Matthew 11 and verse 28. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He'll give rest to your soul. Because if you're in sin and in opposition to God, you need rest for your soul. When you're constantly fighting and opposed to God and His will in your life, you certainly need rest for your soul. Rest for the weary comes to the one who will choose the Lord's side. Make that choice today. Declare yourself to be on the Lord's side by obeying His Word through faith, repentance, confession, and baptism for the remission of your sins. If you're a child of God and you have sin in your life, repent of that sin. Declare again whose side you're on. We'll pray with you and for you as we stand and sing the song that has been selected.